I'm Matt Bush with BPR News. I'm speaking with Asheville Citizen Times reporter Joel Burgess. Joel, thanks for coming in.
Excellent to be here.
You've had a busy week going through all of this, so let's break down some of these results right now. Vijay Kapoor was the top vote getter by a wide margin. One of your stories this week looked at the fact he hails from South Asheville, and that's sort of a way of this. It's a way that's shown this neighborhood is trying to be more active politically within the city, because it was North Asheville really seemed to be the most politically active part of the city. Different in this particular election. So talk about that. What about him got him to this high level of votes? And what does that say about the neighborhood that he hails from and really talked a lot about in his campaign?
Well, Kapoor showed up on the scene a few years ago. It was 2015, I believe, as an advocate for residents who were concerned about a 272-unit apartment complex that was being planned for the corner of Mills Gap and Sweeten Creek Roads. And really, it was the right time for a voice down there for that type of issue, because folks, I think, are feeling the pressure from traffic. They're feeling pressure from development. And there were a couple other issues that Kapoor got involved with, too. One that hasn't gotten a lot of discussion recently was his advocacy for some folks that lived in a mobile home park that were being evicted to make room for an apartment complex. And there was also a project plan for Overlook Road. And really, he, I think, harnessed a lot of the concerns of residents from that area. And also, it has to be said that Kapoor just appeared to campaign very well throughout the rest of the city. He did do well in some precincts outside of South Asheville, including winning a couple up in the north, particularly around the Beaver Dam Valley area.
What was the biggest issue, really, that drove voters to the polls in this particular election? It's 12 people. It's a primary. Press coverage has been there, but it's not something that's been just overwhelming. It's not like we see big TV ads and all the things that maybe we think of with national campaigns. So what drove people to the polls in this particular election? And that's, they can be very personal for people in these types of elections, what drives them to the polls.
Right. And so with voters with whom we spoke, we heard things like the pace of growth and development. The idea that maybe there should be more regulation on some development. And then on the flip side, you did hear a few, and I think this was more a minority of voters who actually were hoping for less regulation. There was a contingency of folks out there who were pushing back, I think, against the idea that development needed to be reined in a bit. And as we know, and this held true in the past elections too, there's been some backlash against the surge in hotel building that we've seen. And I think for a lot of people, that symbolizes the fast change in Asheville and the change in downtown to a very, very tourist-oriented spot. We also did hear discussion about short-term rentals. That is still an issue for a lot of people. That was an issue in the 2015 campaign. That is still an issue. These are banned in most of the city. Again, these are Airbnb-style online rentals, and advocates for these things say that it's a way for residents to cash in on the tourist economy. Opponents say, though, that it hurts locals who are trying to find housing. It jacks up housing prices and decreases the housing stock. So we heard that argument. But again, you touched on an interesting part of the election, which was South Asheville. And South Asheville, you didn't hear concerns about short-term rentals or so much of about downtown. What you heard was the pace of growth and development and traffic. A lot of the roads are older roads. Some of them haven't been widened. There's a lot of apartment building going on in South Asheville. That's where land is cheaper, land is flatter, and so it's more attractive to developers. And so that's why a lot of the people came out. And we found, and you can find this in some of our coverage on citizentimes.com, we crunched some of the numbers on Wednesday, the day after the primary. And if we took six of the South Asheville precincts and found that there was a 69% increase in the number of voters from those precincts compared to the last primary 2 years ago. So a tremendous amount of new interest from those areas. Now, overall, voter turnout was up in Asheville. It was nearly 17%, up from about 13% turnout. Voter turnout in municipal primaries typically is not that good, but nearly 17% is pretty darn good for one of these types of races.
So now the primary is decided. How do some of these issues, and the ones you identified, growth, development, traffic, short-term rentals, Airbnb, they all sort of go together as part of growth and development of how much does the city, how much do voters want the city to grow? How much do they want these types of things to become more prevalent? So now that we're going towards the general election, it's a very fast turnaround. Early voting already starts next week for the general election. We barely get a week between elections here. So with the candidates in city council that got through, where do they sort of stand on these things? Are there some breaks in what they are talking about on the campaign trail that people will see once they are able to research them a little more?
That is going to be the most interesting thing to me, because actually among these top six candidates, now we also have a mayoral race with incumbent Esther Mannheimer and challenger Martin Ramsey. But if we're talking strictly about the race for the three council seats, I don't see a lot of daylight on some of those growth and development issues between these candidates. They're going to have to define themselves. They're going to have to say, here's specifically how I'm different. A lot of it might be just that they might push harder for certain things. One thing I have heard, for example, candidate Kim Roney talk about is mandating that developers include a certain percentage of below market rate housing when they build here. That's called inclusionary zoning. I think that most candidates support that idea, but the problem is we're not sure that's legal in North Carolina. This could result in a real fight between the city and the state, in the pattern that we've seen in the past, similar to the pattern we've seen in the past with the city and the state. So it's interesting that Roney is taking a stand saying, let's go ahead and do this and push for this. And you do have one incumbent that got through, which is Vice Mayor Gwen Whistler. And Whistler's actually been a proponent of a lot of the heavy regulation for development, including hotels. I think that maybe she's pushed back the most against hotel growth, and she sees it as too much of one type of use for land. And I think she wants more of a diverse type of use and possibly even more housing in places such as downtown.
I did have one incumbent lose. Someone who's very well known in Asheville politics. How much of a surprise was it that Cecil Bothwell fell 106 votes shy of making the cut to go into the general election?
I think it was a big surprise. I think that Bothwell, particularly in the past few years, has taken some pretty strong stands that are controversial, and I think in the way in which he took those stands may have put off some people. I think that he was still very popular, at least among a core group of people. And so I think it was surprising that he didn't make it through the primary. Maybe he wouldn't have won the general election, but it was a shock. I think it's a shock anytime an incumbent doesn't make it through the primary, at least. And that was interesting watching the returns, because Bothwell was at least in sixth place, which is the last to get through to the general election for most of the returns. And then right at the end, that flipped with Roney gaining the advantage. So it's going to be interesting to see if how many people take up any of his stances and if people sort of shy away from them. I'd say a couple of things that struck me that were different that Bothwell was talking about was sort of giving up on the idea of incentivizing and subsidizing housing inside the core of Asheville. In other words, you can't beat the market was what he was getting at. And so instead, let's extend the bus system. Let's make it more rigorous. Let's make it free. And let's try to allow people just to live in the outskirts, even outside the city, where housing will naturally be cheaper. And I'm not sure anyone really, any of the other candidates really backed that idea. Although the idea of a free bus system is backed by several other candidates. So that might be one of the defining issues is, I think they all are transit supporters, but how far would they go to push, to subsidize transit, to make it easy to use?
My last question is, some of the issues you've been identifying as we've been chatting here, what does it say about the city of Asheville and its voters right now that these are the issues that they are most interested in, at least the people who are going to the polls, things like growth and development? What does that say about the city right now that has become the primary issue?
I would say, and also, I'm not sure I said it earlier, but I'd also say housing and affordability. And I think what it says is that people have seen a rapid change in the city, and I think they feel like it's becoming unaffordable in some ways, that housing is becoming unaffordable and other aspects of the city are becoming unaffordable, and that they're feeling the growing pains too of the city. And I think we're in that stage right now where the city is growing, and the question is, how is it going to grow? Is how involved is government going to get in trying to preserve and affect certain things, and even, you know, work with the market, interfere with the market in some cases? And that is a striking thing too, is you don't hear a lot of the candidates talking about market-based solutions, about the idea that if we just back off, business will take care of what we need. There was maybe one candidate that I heard that from, and that was Pratik Bhakta, and Bhakta did not get through the primary. So I think that folks are looking for some help. I think they want city council, and they want the city government to help rein in some of the forces that are changing the city.
Joel Burgess, thank you for coming in as always.
Absolutely, my pleasure.